Welcome to another edition of Critical Thinking. I'm your host and producer for this series, Andrew Patner. This is a year of some major anniversaries of three of the major wars in which this country found itself. One, of course, within the country, the Civil War, the 150th anniversary of the end of the war, is coming up this year. We'll be talking about that, and we'll be going back to our popular Abraham Lincoln Reconsidered series and even adding to it. The 100th anniversary of World War I rolls throughout these next several years, and this spring the University of Chicago Presents will have a very intriguing festival of music, poetry, and art related to that. We'll be talking about that. It's also going to be the 70th anniversary of the end of the Second World War, of VE and VJ days, victory in Europe, and victory in Japan. In some ways, contemporary history is more distant, isn't it, than older history. As time passes, more and more books come out. These days, films, movies, documentaries, debates and discussions go on. But things that happened close to our time, the Korean War, the Vietnam War, and now even the Second World War, people seem to know less and less about those. Think about it. To have fought in the Second World War, you would have to be over the age of 87, 87 or over today. To have active memory of Pearl Harbor, you'd really have to be 80 or more. And to have a vivid memory of the end of the war, you'd be in your late 70s or older. And, of course, there are many such people, but there are many people who are a lot younger or even a little bit younger than that. I want to look today and again over some time during the course of the year at music from that period of the Second World War. Each of these wars, of course, war in general, very closely tied to music and the arts. That's a whole topic right there. The great historian of the West, of all things the West, west of the Middle East, I guess, William McNeil, even wrote as a book in his late 80s, a book about keeping rhythm to music and drums in time, and how war and the military and marching and music shaped cultures and was shaped in turn by cultures. America, Second World War, we're talking jazz. And if we're talking jazz, we're really talking what the folks at the AACM, Association for the Advancement of Creative Musicians, some decades ago said should really be called great black music. And we're going to listen to some great black music, some great jazz, from just a four-month period, December of 43 into May of 44. The depth, the height, the depth of our involvement in the war, the need for entertainment, the energy and excitement that was going on in that time. And we're going to start off with a great example of how jazzmen could take the most ordinary song, the most uninteresting, not particularly huge hit piece of popular music and turn it into something. Marion Davies, remembered, if at all, for having been the lover of William Randolph Hearst and the basis for a major character in Orson Welles's Citizen Kane. She introduced this song, Just You, Just Me, in a not very successful film called Marianne in 1929, in which she and a pig were very involved, not romantically, on a French farm. Jesse Greer and Raymond Cleggs wrote the song, but then in 1943, Lester Young and friends did something much more with it. From December 28, 1943, Just You, Just Me. Lester Young, you probably could hear right at the beginning, boom, 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 Slam Stewart on bass, Big Sid Catlett on drums, Johnny Guarnieri on piano, and Lester Young, tenor sax. Four guys go into a room, December 28, 1943, take a nothing song and turn it into a song that then becomes a jazz standard, or while it was becoming a jazz standard, add their version. And that's the kind of music that starts getting people jumping at the end of 43 and the beginning of 44, while the war goes on. Everybody, quote-unquote, knew Fats Waller's Honeysuckle Rose. Cootie Williams, trumpet player, supreme, brought another little group together January 6th of 44 and took the Fats Waller and Andy Razaf song and made it sound like this. Cootie Williams trumpet, Eddie Vinson, alto sax, Eddie Lockjaw Davis, tenor sax, Bud Powell, piano, Norman Keenan, bass, Sylvester Payne, drums. And there you see almost a kind of proto-bebop, isn't it? You've taken this popular song by a great jazz pianist and a great writer, and you've turned it into its rhythm and its acceleration in a way. And you can see people hitting the dance floor after a long extra shift when all hands were on deck for the war. Another thing that happened in this period, of course, were putting together all-star bands. And this was done by Norman Granz at Philharmonic, Jazz at the Philharmonic, and other such programs, and by what was an extremely important force in this period, Esquire magazine. And you may know that Esquire comes right out of Chicago. The Smart brothers, they were smart, and their name was Smart, David and Alfred Smart. And they wanted a magazine, and they wanted an idea for the Smart Set, and that included style, restaurants, jazz. And the Esquire All-Americans were put together and presented, and they toured. And this from a January 18, 1944 performance. Lionel Hampton, Louis Armstrong, Roy Eldridge, Barney Bagard, Coleman Hawkins, Art Tatum, Al Casey, Oscar Pettiford, and Sid Catlett again. Genuinely an all-star gathering. And Lionel Hampton takes a song that he makes his own, that really grew out of a solo of his with Benny Goodman, Flying Home. And this is a concert track. It's going to be about 8.5 minutes. Thank you. There you are, January 18th, 1944, at the Met. That's right, the Metropolitan Opera, the old Met, downtown, in the 30s. The street, the 30s, the concert, the 40s. A concert extremely famous for Billie Holiday's participation. But here, we were looking at and we're listening to instrumentals. And you heard live. Hampton talking, singing, playing, making everything fly on the vibes. Trumpeters, two of the greatest in history, Louis Armstrong and Roy Eldridge. Barney Bigard on clarinet. The great Coleman Hawkins on tenor sax. A unique genius of the piano, perhaps one of the greatest natural pianists in the history of the instrument in any genre, Art Tatum. Al Casey on guitar. There were still guitars in big bands and medium bands then. And Oscar Pettiford, bass, and Sidney Catlett rounding out the rhythm section. Let's hear some more from Roy Eldridge, who was known as Little Jazz. We're going in exact chronological order. Longtime listeners will know that this means that we are dipping into Les Trésors du Jazz. That is the remarkable, at this point, I think it's up to about 60 years, starting in 1898, chronological selection by and from the collections of André Francis and Jean Schwartz, two of the greatest jazz collectors in France and in the world. And in this set, City Jazz, 1944 to 1951, though it actually started December 28 of 43, we're working our way through a four-month period of master recording after master recording. We're looking back at World War II and music. And here's Roy Eldridge, Fiesta in Brass.
Thank you.
Some fun there from Little Jazz, Roy Eldridge and his Little Jazz Trumpet Ensemble. Roy Eldridge, Emmett Berry, and Joe Thomas, all on trumpet. Johnny Guarnieri, we've heard from already today on piano. The wonderfully named Israel Crosby on bass, and the wonderfully named and wonderfully playing Cozy Cole on drums, January 24, 1944, a little piece of fun called Fiesta in Jazz. Now we come to an experiment that took off big. Woodyan You, a little play on Woody Herman and wordplay, originally Dizzy Gillespie. Here, Coleman Hawkins and company, and, of course, Dizzy Gillespie, Woody and You, February 16, 1944. Woody and You, Coleman Hawkins, tenor sax, Dizzy Gillespie on trumpet, and the arranger, recreator of that piece, Vic Colson, and Ed Vanderveer also on trumpet, Leo Parker, Leonard Lowry, alto, Coleman Hawkins, Don Bias, Ray Abrams, tenors, Bud Johnson, baritone sax, Clyde Hart, Oscar Pettiford, and the great Max Roach making up the rhythm section. We've got these two things going on at the same time in this period of tremendous creativity when everyone's doing war service, either abroad or at home. We have a segregated armed forces, remember. It's not until Harry Truman, after the death of Roosevelt, great as he was in so many areas, he kept a segregated military. wasn't until Harry Truman that that was integrated. But blacks, of course, were subject to the draft, and they were subject to other war service. And all this pressure is still producing or is adding to the production of tremendous creative work in so many fields. And here in jazz, orchestral ideas, jazz at the Met, jazz at the Philharmonic, big bands becoming orchestras. Duke Ellington is the shadow over all of this. I don't say shadow. Duke Ellington is the bright cloud of light and shadow over all of this, who is pushing into that orchestral classical direction. And some of the very same people, Dizzy Gillespie, are feeling their way towards cubism, bebop, which is coming. I'm Andrew Patner. You're listening to Critical Thinking, 98.7 WFMT in Chicago and WFMT.com anywhere in this great wide world. WFMT.com/critical thinking is the home for this or any of our other programs on the always free Critical Thinking podcast. We're walking through a period in World War II, a period of just 4 months where, gosh, if we had the time, I could play you 20 songs, I think, just from that period. We're walking through chronologically, and we're now at March 2nd, 1944. Lionel Hampton has created something again, and he's given it a wild name, Tempo's Boogie. No need to go through the full orchestra here, but it was very much a full orchestra backing up the improvisation, or the kind of set improvisation, of the great vibraphone player Lionel Hampton from March 2nd, 1944. Lester Young created things that often then had a name attached to them. And one of those pieces was Lester Leaps In. Here, though, later, Buck Clayton put together with and for him Lester Leaps Again. Even if you're new to much of this type of music, I bet you recognized Count Basie's piano and his rhythm section, Freddie Green guitar, Rodney Richardson bass, Joe Jones on drums, Lester Young with Lester Leaps Again, Buck Clayton taking some of the things that only Lester Young could do and redoing them for him to do again. March 22nd, 1944. Here's something different. Charlie Shavers on trumpet with a quintet that had a real ringer in it. Legendary even then, historic pianist Earl Father Hines on piano and whipping up a song for Charlie Shavers, Curry in a Hurry.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie Shaver's quintet, Charlie Shaver's trumpet, Tab Smith, alto, Al Lucas bass, Joe Jones drums, Earl Hines, who goes back to almost the earliest days of jazz there, both on piano and a song that he probably made up for the occasion, Curry in a Hurry, April 15th, 1944. Huh, that would have been my dad's bar mitzvah. Seriously. Well, we've mentioned Honeysuckle Rose. We've heard one version of it with Cootie Williams, and we've heard Art Tatum. Let's hear the great Art Tatum playing Honeysuckle Rose, his own version of it, and also, unusually, playing with a rhythm section, not just solo piano. Tiny Grimes guitar, Slam Stewart bass, Art Tatum, May Day, 1944. Fats Waller, Andy Razaf's Honeysuckle Rose, Art Tatum, Tiny Grimes, Slam Stewart, May 1st, 1944. Let's hear some more Art Tatum from that same session, the traditionnel, as André Francis and Jean Schwartz call it, the traditional dark eyes. Thank you. Chichonye, who from Charlie Appin to Danny Kaye to the Ritz Brothers to Al Jolson didn't sing or Fred Astaire dance or everyone else to that traditional Ukrainian, French, Russian, German, American, Japanese song, Dark Eyes. Art Tatum, Tiny Grimes, and funny man and brilliant bassist too, Slam Stewart, having fun with it in May of 1944. Everything we heard came from just a 3-4 month period. In dark days of World War II, when everybody was united in lifting their own spirits and lifting ours as well. Looking back 71 years ago, in the case of this music, and 70 years ago coming up to the end of the Second World War. All these came from Le Chant du Monde, Harmonia Mundi, City Jazz, Les Trésors du Jazz, 1944 to 1951, André Francis and Jean Schwartz. This collection put together first in 2002, drawing from their own collections. Want to thank Matt DiStefano for putting the program together with me and making it sound great. Alphawood Foundation, our funder deluxe. Other friends of this program, drop us a line anytime. Rentap, Patner spelled backwards, R-E-N-T-A-P at AOL.com. WFMT.com/critical thinking is where you can hear this. Any of our programs, the always free Critical Thinking Podcast. I'm Andrew Patner. We'll see you next week.